You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right. 7:07 in the morning. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Susan, what's up, young lady? You're at the 27th annual Wake Up Tucson Pizza Summit. We've brought everyone in to have this hardcore discussion. First and foremost, friend of the show, valuable sponsor, Rocco. What's up,
morning,
my friend?
Hi.
Rocco's Little
I'd
Chicago.
I'd like to open this Pizza Summit today.
I pledge allegiance to the flag.
To the pie.
Instead of a gavel, I have a calzone, and I just slapped that on the old on the old counter. You heard the girlish laughter of Mr. Matt Russell.
Good morning.
Good morning, amigo. How are you?
How am I? Look at what I'm surrounded by, man. I got Daddy O McCluskey over here. I got King Rocco here. I'm in heaven.
And you got a thing of pizza and wings that's on a plate from Rocco's.
Oh, it doesn't get any better than this, brother.
Sean McCluskey.
How we doing?
Welcome back.
Hi, Sean.
Thank you.
Congratulations on baby Mac.
Yeah, huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
6 pounds, 2 ounces, 18.75 inches long.
What? Adorable.
Ouch.
Yeah. Mama's doing well?
She's doing great. She's freaking awesome.
She's a hero.
Yeah. No, I mean, number one, that whole thing, what an experience. Wow.
We should just dedicate the rest of the show to her.
There we go.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, works for me. It. Her or Peyton. Take them both. Peyton's right. Been a trooper. I mean, you want to talk about, like, I don't even have to go near the kid. I want to, but I can't get in there because Peyton's hovering. It's awesome.
Right.
Yeah, she's all over him.
Her
big sister.
Peyton's the big sister for newbies out there.
Big sister's all over baby brother.
Very cool. Well, congratulations. Cool.
Thanks. A lot of fun.
And I'm glad you got to experience the birth of your child. That's an amazing thing.
It truly is. It's like, if you have never done it, I suggest you do it, but we'll do it with the right person. Just don't do it to do it because it is an experience.
This is a pizza summit, but I have a baby question. Who was in the room when she delivered?
Me and three doctors.
Okay, good. Excellent. This thing about when they have the entire family in there.
No. Let me explain something real quick. COVID is alive and real.
Oh, so this is a good part of COVID?
No, this is a horrible part. Peyton was PO'd like you wouldn't believe because Peyton's under 18, so she wasn't allowed into the postpartum room after because she was under 18.
Okay.
And then you only have one guest, and you have one... I don't know what they called me, but I was the stanchion. I could be there for whenever I wanted to be, but then there could only be one guest in the room. And if I left, they couldn't bring anybody else. It was just, oh my God.
I just know friends that when this poor woman's giving birth and going through all this, it's like a small family reunion going inside the room.
It's
you
like
know
a,
what I mean?
It's like a pep team.
Is this live and delivery or is this a quinceanera for crying out loud?
There's a couple of ways to look at that. When you're in your bedroom, who do you want else in there with you? And if they're not in there with you when you had the experience, they're not in there on the delivery. How's that?
That sounds fine with me.
All right.
Having done this twice.
See, all right, so Rocco's on board.
Nancy, if you're listening, we need three doctors tonight.
Again, welcome to the 27th annual Pizza Summit. It all started with, you know, Rocco was scheduled to come on today anyway. Tomorrow's the big pizza throwdown.
Yes.
Is there tickets available for the pizza throwdown?
Sold out as of 10 a.m. either yesterday or the day before. I forgot which.
Look at that.
150 tickets.
That's awesome.
Boom.
You're back. Like Frank Costanza. I'm back,
right,
baby.
Right, yeah. I think this is like the fifth annual with a couple of years skipped.
Sure.
That's how it goes. Yeah.
And remember, we're having the Road Ain't Done happy hour at Rocco's on July 12th, 5:30.
Right.
And
it was going to be the Road Is Done cocktail hour. I think that was the original. Yeah. Anyway, that's what's up.
Now, you nailed it, though. I said, let's get a ribbon and only cut it halfway.
Yeah.
And you said, yours is a better idea. We get the candles that that reignite after you blow them out.
Right.
Because that is your experience.
Serve undercooked wings.
Ooh. Ew.
The city drops off a 6 dozen undercooked gummy wings. Right. Congratulations.
Gave me the shivers.
So, in relation to what we want to get done in the Pizza Summit today, right? We want to talk.
There's an agenda.
Heck yes.
Yeah, let's see.
Very much.
What do you got?
Why is your mic? Why do you sound low on your mic?
I don't know.
There you go. You got to bring it up a little bit. Yeah, there you go. Better for your posture, too.
I'm going to get more intimate.
Thank you.
This mic.
There's the Rocco. There's the Rocco NPR voice.
Yeah, there it is.
Let's go to Rocco DeGrazia with a report in Tucson, Arizona.
That's lovely. Thank you for inviting me.
So my thing is, we talked about, whenever we do this on Facebook, what's your favorite two places, right? It blows up, right? Everyone's got their favorite pizza place. It's an ubiquitous food item out there, right? We all have our different ways. So I want to talk about our favorite places. I want to talk about, before this is over, how we like to cook it, because a lot of us are cooking it at home also.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And I think it's the idea. I don't know if I want to have the pineapple debate today. That'll be kind of an addendum item before it's all over. But for you guys, we'll start with Rocco and move around the table. What's the definition of a perfectly cooked pizza in your mind? Because everyone's all in the eye of the beholder.
Sure.
What's perfectly?
It depends on the style, but always it has to have some toast on the cheese and a browned crust, you know, bordering on slightly darker than brown.
Gotcha. You know?
Yeah. And if it doesn't have that, then you haven't caramelized your sugars and toasted the cheese, and those are two things that make the pizza taste good.
It's supposed to look like this.
Yeah, see, dude.
This is radio.
There it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're all here, so we can talk about the brown, crusty cheese.
Sure.
Wait, swipe to the right. That's from labor and delivery. There it is. Yeah.
And then for Neapolitan pizza, it has to be black somewhere on the pizza. There has to be a char. And if you didn't do that, then you spent a lot of money on the oven. And you probably should be.
I bought an oven that can go to 800 degrees, but we undercooked the pizza.
Exactly.
How about you, Matt?
Well, so I'm a thin pizza guy, and so when I go to Rocco's, you know, I do sort of that, like the Midwestern thin, right?
Sure.
And so you know you're from Chicago when someone waltzes into Rocco's and orders that Midwestern pie with some sausage. I mean,
yeah,
I love that style. I love the crisp. I love the crunch. I love the crack. And I couldn't agree with you more, Rocco, about the char. You know, I've actually been in pizzerias where I have observed guests register a complaint because the pizza was burned. Now there,
and
so,
it wasn't,
and it was
not even close.
Not even close. So, the respect for the pie is to render that char. First thing I do particularly when I go to a pizzeria that I've never been to, is I pick up the slice and I look at the outer edge of the crust and I look underneath. I raise it, put the hood up a little bit.
This is Pizza Summit info that we want.
And
out
I
there.
Love that. And I want to, not only do I want to see char, I want to be able to see the way the char actually renders onto my fingertips. You know, you get a little bit of that char, that little bit of that dust. So, but you know you have nailed that perfect pie when, and I can't talk about caramelizing and yeasting and proofing and all that. That's your lane. But when I think about the perfect pie texturally, I want to hear that crust. I want to hear that crack. I want to see the crusts kind of break apart. But inside that interior of the crust, I want to have that sort of a little bit more pillowy.
Chewy.
Exactly. That's the better word. So crust and crack and crunch on the exterior, but a nice chew. And I don't have, I mean, I've tried to make pizzas a few times. I don't know, from a science perspective, how that happens. I mean, I'm going to leave that to the trained professionals here on the console. But that's kind of, when I think about the perfect pie, that experience is what I'm after.
To me, on the crust too, right? If you're, especially on a thin crust Neapolitan, not a party cut, right?
Sure.
And I got a triangle here. You know, I want to fold it.
Yeah.
Right? And I want that thing to hold shape.
Here comes the New York Goomba. So I was going to say, you have two schools of thought here. You have New York pie and you have Chicago pie. And they're completely different, but yet they're exactly the same.
Explain, Lucy.
Well, your New York pie is cut in you get a pie anywhere in New York, the five boroughs, you've got five different types of pizza. And if you get a New York slice, it's a triangle pepperoni slice. It slaps you in the elbow, and the grease runs
what
down
do you mean
in some
slapping
places.
You in the elbow? What does
when
that
you do
mean?
Your fold, it doesn't hold.
Right.
That would be like a Brooklyn-style pizza. I've had pizza in Brooklyn that it folded and hit me in the elbow, and I was like, this is horrible. And then I go...
Well, that's bad New York pizza.
I agree.
Okay.
But at 3 a.m., it's always good. And then if you go to other places in New York, you get what you're talking about. You can fold it, and it's got the nice bottom, the nice doneness on the bottom. It's almost a little slight brown, good little tan texture.
Yeah, right.
And how do you get the chew? You get the chew because you just don't make your dough and then serve it right away. You got to let it rest for a little bit. The longer it sits there, the more active that yeast gets. The more active that yeast gets, the better your chew is.
And when we hear about proofing, is that what's happening? Is when you let that dough kind of sit and rest and relax? Is that Is that where it's proofing?
Yeah, well, yeah, proofing isn't really the right word. It's rising.
Right. Yes.
Proofing is when you, like, you know, throw some yeast in some sugary water and see if it works. Or but that's generally, but that's what they're talking about is proofing the dough means puffing it up. And yeah, if you let it sit overnight, what you're doing is you're letting it rest, and the enzymes in the yeast will actually break down some of the proteins and denature them, so it won't, like, if you make pizza right after you make the dough, it's gonna have really big bubbles in it and a kind of a crappy texture. But the next day, the bubbles are gonna be a lot smaller because the gluten's been broken down a little bit by the enzymes and stuff. And it just gives it a way better texture too, and it gives it more yeasty flavor. And that's what you're talking about.
Yep. And of course,
beautiful.
I can give you a pizza dough recipe at any given time. My mom and dad, I was raised in a pizza place. They owned five of them in Chicago, and we broke the recipe down, and I've been making this dough from memory since I was 13 years old.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, daughter and I make it all the time.
Do you use the Chicago water? No.
I wish I could, but I don't transport it in. And it makes a huge difference because, see, in Chicago, the recipe calls for 1 cup and 1 teaspoon of water. And down here, I got to use 1 1/4 cups of water.
Now, is that recharged water then from the Colorado River? Or
well, it's coming straight out the tap here, or out my filter on the fridge. But
all
yeah,
right. All right, let's do it.
One of the weird things about making dough in Tucson, especially if you have a swamp cooled kitchen, is the hydration of the flour is a lot different depending on the season. You know, in the bone dry pre summer when we don't even have the coolers on and stuff. The flour dries out a lot, so you have to add maybe just a little bit more water.
Who knew?
And now, you know, you have to add less because the flour has sucked up a bunch of humidity by sitting in my kitchen overnight and stuff like that. Yeah, seriously, man.
No, it makes sense.
It's a living thing. You gotta roll with the dough as it is.
Hey, I got a quick question for Rocco from a listener, and then we'll go to break. He was asking about Chicago pizza, right? But he talked about cornmeal crust.
Sure.
There's two things he
could be talking about. There's actually cornmeal in some Chicago
pizza.
That's
what he's looking for.
Yeah, I don't think anybody in town does that. That would be like a Geno's style crust and stuff, and there actually is some cornmeal. So it's a crumbly crust. It's not a lot of cornmeal, but it's enough to give it. It's almost like making pizza with like semolina or something.
Where right, because I've made pizza dough with semolina flour.
It's the same kind of thing. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
And it's crunchy. When the edges like get pointy, they get real crunchy with the cornmeal. Yeah. Also, like they could be talking about if for thin crust, a lot of places with deck ovens will use cornmeal to lubricate the bottom, and that like burns and has a specific smell and bitter,
I like that too.
Bitter flavor. I wish I could do that. That's the one thing I can't do in my conveyor oven that I wish I could do.
Another thing, what kind of flour do you use when you make your pizza dough?
I use what's called bouncer flour, and it's a high gluten flour. A lot of people use lower gluten flour, especially for Chicago thin crust, but I think this just works for me.
So. Okay. What about you? You're using AP?
I use King Arthur's.
King Arthur what?
All-purpose, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, or the bread flour. I like the bread flour, too. Yeah. But I use both of them. And it's an expensive flour. It's like $6 a pound or a bag. I mean, it's not
cheap. There was a weird sale around the holidays on King
Arthur. You told me about this. I bought out the
more
store.
I got more King Arthur in my house right now. I look like a cocaine dealer. That's how much white powder is in my house. 7:19 in the morning. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show. The first opening meeting of the 27th annual Wake Up Tucson Pizza Summit has concluded. We're going to move into the second part. On the bottom hour, we have...
I'm pleased to be at the Pizza Summit.
Susan from the Gluten Free Girls is going to talk about gluten free pizza for a lot of you people that are suffering from such things that you need to eat gluten free. And then we got Matt Cable and one of the younger Espina kids coming at 7:45. So you're on Wake Up Tucson, The Voice.
A little Super Tramp by request.
I don't know. As a young guy, I feel like this is my first from the video on MTV. This is my first real Scorpions exposure was this tune.
I remember hearing this one when I was on the zipper at a carnival.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that was last week, but it's all good.
Yeah.
Before Rocco gets going, because he has to actually do work stuff and make money, you brought us the taco pizza. We only got about 3 minutes because we went late with the first session. But
right.
Tell us about the taco pizza, because it reminds me, Bill number 1-2 used to own a bunch of Godfather's pizzas, and they made this taco pizza. Right. This is what that kind of reminds me
of. Still wildly popular in Minnesota and I think Iowa. from what I understand.
They think this is authentic.
It's authentic. So I got the sauce instead of pizza sauce is it's refried beans mixed with spicy enchilada, like green enchilada sauce, and then you got cheese, including cheddar, of course. And and then I made the Lowry season mix style taco,
yeah, baby.
Taco meat. I just put, you know, like that. My goal was I'm just gonna put too much cumin in here, and it'll taste like I remember.
Way too much
cumin.
A comical amount of cumin.
As one of my sous chefs years ago said, cumin? You mean edible dirt?
Yeah,
that was
wow.
There you go. Unless it's like the cumin lamb from Jin Dynasty, because that's so good.
That is very
good. And then when it's done, we put on, like, you know, chopped up tomatoes, onions, and jalapenos. I guess the jalapenos is a stretch for Wisconsin,
Midwest.
Yeah. And then of course crumbled Doritos on the top, like God intended.
Amen.
I wish I could get, like, back in the day, it was like you can get taco Doritos. You remember those?
Yes.
That was the jam. But those are scarce on the ground these days.
They are scarce on the ground.
Yeah.
So I will tell you the when you brought up, this is the only kind of pizza I will accept cheddar cheese on.
Okay. Cool.
All right. When it does other,
oh, there's one more.
I get it.
Barbecue chicken pizza with red onion, jalapeno, and a little cheddar cheese over the top.
That's all right too. Yeah.
Oh. As long as I think AZP does a pizza like that. Yeah.
I just don't want cheddar on my pizza overall.
And ranch. No ranch.
No. God, no. God, throw that away.
Right. What? How in the world did that ever happen?
So these are the pizzas.
Wow, white boys.
Well, you know, with so man buns, pizza skinny said, jeans. Right, of course. So the pineapple's an issue for me still to this day, okay? Dipping your pizza in ranch, is this a problem?
Yes.
Agreed.
That's worse than pineapple. I'll accept pineapple over ranch.
That's consensus.
Because he's angry Samoan. You want to throw pineapple on a pizza? Throw pineapple on the angry Samoan.
It's right in front of you, Chris. That's the angry Samoan.
I did have a bite of that. That's, yeah.
So
I just got pizza coming
I'll
up.
I'll sell you the ranch, but I do not condone.
Your ranch isn't ranch, so you've got the Chicago garlic sauce.
No, our ranch is a Hidden Valley Packets, baby.
Oh, you have ranch too?
Yeah, Hidden Valley Packets.
I wouldn't know. Yeah. I've never eaten it.
Yeah, our blue cheese, you're right, our blue cheese is really close to the garlic.
Oh, so good.
Garlic
liquid crack.
But anyway, your ranch is real ranch.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's fake ranch because it's in a powder, right? But it's still real ranch. Like, I mean, not fake ranch, but...
Real ranch is a powder.
That's true. That's true.
It's true.
Buttermilk. You got buttermilk
in
it, right?
Yeah, buttermilk and heavy mayonnaise. That's it, baby.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, mixy, sir, mixy.
Thanks for all that you do in the world of pizza.
I'll leave you to the New York guys later. after Susan gives you a brief respite.
Hopefully hopefully you got tickets for the pizza throwdown. You'll see him and 40 of his closest friends doing their work.
Let's do it. All right, see you tomorrow, guys.
That's Rocco from Rocco's Little Chicago.
Love you, bye.
Susan's coming up from the Gluten Free Girls. Wake up Tucson, 10:30 of the Voice, local news and talk. Mine and one of mine and Matt's favorites, Road to Mandalay, Frank Sinatra. Off the Come Fly With Me album. We are entering into the next stage of the Pizza Summit, 27th annual. Sean McCluskey's here, Rincon Ventures.
How we doing?
We have Matt Russell from On The Menu.
Good morning. Cleansing my palate with a Rocco wing before we dive into the next course.
A wing is a palate cleanser.
Hey, they were perfect, too.
Some of you losers have sorbet to cleanse your palate.
That is so out.
And that's our friend Susan from the Gourmet Girls. How are you doing, young lady?
Hey, all. I am great today.
I thought we were having this pizza summit. I don't want to be seen as an insensitive, narrow vision pizza gourmet lover as myself. And I wanted to open us up to the world of gluten-free, because especially we have lots of listeners out there that have to eat gluten-free or like to eat gluten-free, including our listener, Pat, of course, who's a...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Gourmet girls maniac.
Is she on payroll?
No, really, she's not.
So I need you to turn your microphone a little closer. There you go. Perfect.
Okay, am I here?
Ah, amazing. All beautiful. Right. So what, let's talk about, so of course, crust.
Crust, right?
And you and I have talked many times on the air about your flour room, and you're always trying to figure out all these combinations of flours.
Right.
To make it work. So talk about the journey towards gluten-free pizza crust.
It was a journey, like every one of our products is, and some of them don't reach their destination. But this one did. So it is a blend of brown rice flour, white rice flour, potato starch, and tapioca.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So explain how those approximate. I don't want to get too into biochemicals, but why do those work to make it happen?
I think the tapioca lightens everything up. The potato starch acts kind of as a binder, and then the white and the brown rice are more of the grains that hold it all together. But with gluten-free, as you know, you have to have a blend. If you just try to do one flour, you have a brick.
All right. How long did it take you to perfect the pizza crust?
The pizza crust was an offshoot of the French bread, which that took several years. And so the pizza crust kind of came along after that, you know, hey, maybe we should smush out this French bread and see what we get. Oh, it's crust.
Well, again, it's the idea. So you can literally say it's a crust years in the making.
Yes, years in the making. Uh-huh.
So what did you bring us today?
I brought you, I'm not Italian like, you know, Rocco and some of your other guests. I have the Jewish heritage.
We welcome everyone into the pool, so don't worry about it.
You're very inclusive, which is the word of the day. So I have the Jewish pizza. It's spinach artichoke dip, lox, fried capers, sun-dried tomatoes, and red onions. Kind of a bagel platter on a pizza.
It's like a breakfast pizza. Now listen, because I did a little taste test during the commercial break.
Yes, sir. Oh,
you were sneaking.
Remember what I said about the crust? Listen,
and it's cold.
So it gives you a lot of. You remember the gentleman who was looking for the cornmeal crust?
Mm.
It gives you the same qualities on the crispiness on the edges.
Delicious.
As it if you got the Gino Z's on the peaks of the deep dish.
Gotcha. The
delicious.
No, this is quite a good combo. I mean, this would be amazing if you were having a cocktail party.
Right.
And you ordered it and got this party cut.
Yes.
That would be.
Sean, were the cocktails.
That's true. Someone was supposed to bring Mother Road, but no, I'm just kidding.
Oh.
So what about for you when you go out and get other pizza? Now, do you only eat gluten-free yourself, or do you ever break? I never think I ever asked you this. Do you ever break out and eat
gluten? Once in a while, I do eat things that have gluten because I am a woman of little self-control.
We appreciate your deep confessions here on Wake Up Tucson.
True confessions. I will sometimes see something out that I just have to have. And sometimes I'm sorry because I'll end up with a headache the next day or, you know, feel kind of bleh. Mm. But yes, on occasion I do.
But what's worth it? What's worth it? What's worth the headache?
What's worth the headache?
What's something you've eaten that was worth the headache?
Well, I would say a Rocco's pizza is worth the headache.
Yeah, amen.
For sure.
That's his new tagline. Rocco's pizza. It's worth the headache.
There you go.
We're talking about the traffic or the gluten?
Yeah, right. Both.
But that's the thing. You know, one of the things I love about Gourmet Grills is, yes, it is 100% gluten-free. Not a thing on the menu. Not even close to having even a suggestion of gluten in it. The entire operation is gluten-free. But because the gluten-free culinary scene has gotten so real over the last several years. I mean, look, 20 years ago, I don't think there was anything within the gluten-free community that you would actually say was palatable. Today, people right. are flocking to Gourmet Grills that don't embrace a gluten-free lifestyle, that don't, because there's no discernible difference between the way something's prepared at Gourmet Grills and something that's prepared somewhere else with tons of gluten. You can't tell the difference. In fact, it does have the sort of this fresher quality to it that doesn't render, you know, headaches at nighttime. So that's one of the things I love is, yes, gluten-free is in the name of the restaurant, but you wouldn't know it if you didn't know it.
That's what we like. Yep.
That's what you want, right?
That's what we want.
Is that people are showing up and just eating you because it's good food.
Right.
That happens.
It does. It actually happens.
Exactly.
People actually tell us that.
It was a very cute conversation you initiated during the break as we were finishing up with Rocco, and you said, well, I remember the days where there was no such thing as ranch dressing.
That's right. I will let you in on a secret, which is that I am older than anyone else in this room, and I grew up without ranch dressing, if you can imagine such a travesty.
So that means no ranch dressing or remote controls. I mean, how did you survive?
You know, remote controls when I was little was your dad saying, change the channel.
get up from your seat, walk to the TV to change the
channel.
Through the shag carpeting.
Exactly. Right. That's right. So, you know, I survived without ranch. I may it may be debatable whether it had a detrimental effect on me or not. I'm not sure. You all would know better than me.
All right, let's do the history of ranch dressing real quick. So in 1949, Bill and Betsy Calm Yourself, Thayer, Nebraska native, Steve Henson, moved with his wife to Anchorage, where he worked as a plumber for 3 years in the remote Alaskan bush. This is where ranch dressing starts. Endeavoring to keep his work crews happy, he invented a new salad dressing. And then because of his success in plumbing, he retired at age 35, moved to Santa Barbara, and then searching for some livelihood to occupy his time, he purchased the Sweetwater Ranch in 1956, renamed it Hidden Valley.
Oh.
And in creating the menu for the ranch kitchen, he served a salad dressing that he created in Alaska.
There it is.
Wow.
There we go. Who knew?
Yeah.
So, Susan, are you going to be serving this particular pizza at the throwdown, or are you keeping some things up your sleeve for the big reveal?
Yeah, up our sleeve. All right. Not serving this, but we will be serving this cupcake that I brought. It is a beer and pretzel cupcake in keeping with the theme of the pizza throwdown.
And Sean McCluskey.
Describe the content, the what makes up this amazing looking cupcake.
Well, it has a pretzel crust in the bottom of the cupcake, and then it has a chocolate cupcake with a chocolate ganache filling, both of which contain gluten-free stout. And then the frosting has amber ale.
Describe the frosting, how you made that, because it looks like melted marshmallows, but I know that it's not.
It's basically our usual frosting, which powdered sugar, butter, vanilla, and instead of some of the water, the amber ale has been substituted. And then it's just fluffy, and we made it a little bit looser than usual and kind of piped it on like that to look like the head on a beer.
I like it.
Pretty amazing stuff. So you're serving this at the throwdown?
We'll have that.
Okay, but you're not making a pizza.
No, this time we are not going to do pizza. We're going to stick with a beer and pretzel cupcake.
Awesome. And you're a proud member of the Tucson Originals?
Absolutely.
where do you see the Originals? Like, the last 2 years, of course, was bizarre. Put a lot of things on hold. Where would you like to see the Originals go the next year or two?
I'd like to see them gain more membership, which is happening even as we speak. The last 2 years were kind of, sleepy time. Everybody was hunkered down. But we're back, and we're starting to do our events again, and we are super excited about it. I mean, as Rocco told you, this one sold out just in a couple days when it was put up on the ticket sales. So, yeah, we're really excited about getting new members, expanding, having people know more about local restaurants, know more about the group.
And the other thing you guys need to do is you need to do a gluten-free competition where you force all the other guys and girls to cook like you cook.
My money's on Susan.
That would be fun.
Susan, you make things that are gluten-free and good for those people who have the gluten issues, but they don't taste like they're gluten-free.
Exactly.
That crust is amazing.
Seriously. Yeah.
Thank you. That is our wish.
Where do people find you? What are your hours and website?
We are open every day from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. at 5845 North Oracle Road. That's a little bit north of the river. Website, gourmetgirlsglutenfree.com.
Awesome. Well, thanks for being part of Pizza Summit 2022. And thanks for bringing this amazing pizza and those amazing cupcakes.
Thanks for having me. It's always great to see everybody.
Yeah, you too, Susan.
Same here.
Yep.
Take care.
All right.
Good luck tomorrow.
We do have coming up Matt Cable from Fresco, and one of the younger Espinas is here from Mama's Pizza. So we'll do that too. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. We're doing our last day of S on Bumper Music, a little swing out sister. 1 in the morning. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show. We're in the middle of the 27th annual Pizza Summit. Matt Russell's here on the menu.
Hey.
and our good friend Sean McCluskey, Rincon Ventures Pizza up in Marana.
I wish.
We've talked about it.
Oh, I know. I've I love Ray Flores because Ray, I got the idea somebody was selling a restaurant. I was like, ooh, ooh, ooh. And he said, stay in your lane. So for that, I love Ray Flores because he kept me from losing $1 million. Quickest way to lose $1 million, open a restaurant.
Right, right.
And invest $2 million.
Yes.
Or that's make $1 million. I'll figure it out before it's all over. So we got Joey Spina and Matt Cable coming up next, Mamas and Fresco.
Yeah.
And it sounds like they grew up together. So Matt's running a little late. So we're going to bring them on together to tell bad stories about each other.
The ricotta, the spaghetti sauce, ricotta cheese, and the meatball that Matt does. My goodness. It's sinful.
So we had this discussion on Facebook. We always have updates as things coming in and out of the market
Fresco.
So give me your two or three top pizza places right now that Russell's hitting.
Okay. So, you know, Rocco's, you know, tried and true.
And you're like me. You're a thin crust guy.
Yeah, thin crust guy. Exactly. I mean, despite the fact that it's fun to have a stuffed pizza, Rocco says, you know, you know you're a pizza maniac if you roll up to the counter and order a pizza that weighs 6 pounds. I mean, each slice literally weighs a pound. But anyway, I'm a thin crust guy. But one of my new favorite pizzas, and thankfully it's within a 6-minute drive to the Russell residence, is what Devin is doing over at Zio Pepe. And Matt and Cable and Devin's new venture right across the street from Trail Dust Town. Those are really good pies. Have you had a chance to get over there?
I've had it, yes.
Okay.
It's good.
Yeah.
Very
so
good.
They've got some signature pies with a lot of, you know, fun ingredients, but the Bianca pizza, the white pizza there is really extraordinary.
Very
ridiculous.
Cool.
Yeah.
And they got the, of course, the one with the birria.
Yes,
from one.
Exactly. Yes.
So that's kind of a winner, too. Yep. What about you?
Well, I'm thin crust as well. So if I'm close to the house, Rosati's, because it's on Ina.
Right.
And I like Trident as well up there. And, of course, we'll drive all the way down to Rocco's. About a year ago, we drove down to Rocco's and did a party at the house for like 30 people. And the wife went to go pick up all the pizza.
Sick invite.
And again, Rocco's
it's always on Facebook.
Rocco's thin crust for me is a total winner.
Yeah.
My favorite topping is to get the Italian beef with the jardiniere on the pizza.
Oh,
is the total winner.
I could just eat that stuff right out of there. Just like I'm drinking this wing sauce. What a coincidence.
Matt's going to chug some more wing sauce at the top of the hour. Rosati's only the thin crust to me. That's their one thing they do well. I don't. All the other stuff's okay, but Rosati's thin crust is excellent.
Their medium dish, if you will, is decent because it reminds you of a thick crust back in Chicago.
I don't want to be reminded by that.
I grew up with that. So growing up with it is something that you look at. You go, okay, I can live with it.
Sure.
But where do you get your best New York pizza from? Let's ask you that. And don't say Sergeant Pepperoni's on.
God bless that those people are still in business. Now, to me, it's, again, Arizona Pizza Company, well done, Sabino Canyon. That's the one that consistently nails that all the time. Fiamme makes a Neo Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's an 18-inch Neo Brooklyn that is badass.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
It really is.
Yeah.
You know, I've had good pizza, New York pizza at Dominic's, believe it or not. When I've eaten it at the restaurant, it's been good. He makes a good spinach calzone that I like. There you go.
What about
I was going to say, I forgot about
Dominic's. What am I missing in New York pizza?
So I like NYPD. I mean, I like them all that you've mentioned. I've never been to
Dominic's. You're talking about by Saguaro, that NYPD?
No. So
you're
that's
Wilmot.
New York pizza.
Oh.
Yeah, Wilmot. But I believe they recently moved, although don't quote me, but I think they recently moved over to not too far from Zio Pepe in that Tankaverde
restaurant
complex. Yeah, exactly, where the sushi place is. I'm pretty sure they moved there.
Okay.
But yeah, NYPD, the guy Mark is a hoot. I think he played U of A football decades ago.
Okay.
But family from New York, and his pizza has that sort of, you know, the foldability, and you have the natural oils that have rendered from the baking that sort of, and when you've got that fold, that tip is a spout. And, you know, I interviewed him once years ago, and he says, look, if you don't get that oil dripping off the pizza, it ain't a New York pizza.
He's got that right.
Yeah, exactly. So
but you got to have that.
That's a good pie.
You
got to
have that crust that holds up
so
it doesn't slap you in the elbow.
Yeah.
I will tell you that it reminded me of the New York pizza by your alma mater there, which is the one on Broadway, Camino Seco, New York pizza. It's okay, right? But what I like about that, they still have their old arcade games.
Yeah, I was going to say, they right? Frogger and Centipede.
And there's something about my childhood of playing the arcade games at the pizza place that were slathered in grease and oil.
Of course, talk about a joystick. Yeah. But anyway, I mean, we used to walk there during lunch hour before they built a fence around my high school.
Prison.
Which is just an abomination.
Now it's important to keep people out, but that was originally to keep people in.
Right.
And I always remember New York pizza was just, they never cooked them very well.
Yeah.
Because he was just slapping them. He was just cranking them out as fast as possible.
Right.
Right. The crust was pretty tasteless, but it was like he was feeding high school kids.
It worked for what it was. Right.
So it is so easy to make crust. It is 3 cups of flour. Well, first of all, you start with your yeast. Start with 1 cup of water and one package of yeast. You add another 1/4 cup of warm water to it and 1 teaspoon of sugar. Throw that in there. I'm sorry, a tablespoon of sugar. Throw that in the mixer. Let it sit for 5 minutes. After it's done, add salt, pepper, and a teaspoon of each. And then I add Italian seasonings. And I also add olive oil, 1 tablespoon of olive oil. Add 3 cups of flour to it. Mix it away till it starts to pull off the side of the dough, off the side of the mixer. You're done.
Well, cover you make it sound so easy.
Cover
Sean.
It, let it sit. And then you use it later in the day or use it the next day. It's better the next day, but later in the day. If it gets like a good 6 hours, you get a little bit of that chew.
Yeah.
But if it goes
so
overnight,
that's how it's
you're
rendered.
Done.
Oh,
yeah.
Beautiful.
Before the show's over, we'll talk about cooking pizza at home. I want to do that discussion.
How hot's your oven get?
500.
That's where it goes.
All right.
Put it on the bottom rack and rock and roll.
Mm. You know, and then we've discovered the magic of the test kitchen cast iron pizza. And that has been a game changer in the DeSimone.
Do you have a pizza stone at home?
I do.
Do you use it?
I don't have to now. Oh. I'll explain. I'll explain.
Touché.
So we got Matt Cable here from Fresco and Zio Pepe, and he's here with one of the younger Spina kids from the Mama's Pizza restaurants, and they grew up together, it sounds like. So we'll have a discussion with them. And then we want to start taking your phone calls on your pizza place that you want to share with the rest of the listeners that you think they might like. And so we'll do that after we talk to the boys. Coming up, we're moving into the second hour of the Pizza Summit. 27 years of doing this. It was amazing. I remember when we had Mayor Lou Murphy join us for the first Pizza Summit. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice.